Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks?
Ooh, that's a subdued intro for what happened.
I know. Well, I'm trying to measure how much heat to come in with.
That's fair.
Because this is, I mean, kind of an emergency podcast. We were going to do a podcast anyways, but it's turned into a three fire alarm emergency.
Yeah.
In case you didn't hear, Doc Rivers was seemingly let go by the front office. I don't think it was mutual.
It did not seem mutual, but Doc Rivers is out as the Clippers coach.
Doc Rivers is out as coach. So if you've been listening previously, we've been doing these kind of preseason grades. Today was supposed to be Landry Shamet's. We've bumped that. Obviously, a lot of important stuff to discuss with Doc out. So that's going to be kind of our first two segments. There's just so many implications with that. I mean, I think that pours over into who we retain, obviously, through free agency.
In terms of players and staff.
Yes. And, you know, there's clearly competition from other franchises for some people who are already in the organization that would be thought to be in the running for the position. So we got to talk about all that.
Yes.
And then, we did not forget about Twitter Tuesday. Thank you. We're going to be doing that as our final segment today. Thank you so much to everyone who sent in those questions ahead of time. If you'd ever like an opportunity to get your question featured on the show, go ahead. Send that question over to @LockedOnClips.
Yeah.
Chuck usually sends out a prompt on Monday. But you know what? With the season kind of winding down, or now it feels like it's rewinding up.
I'm as stressed as I was during Game 7, just for the rest of the postseason.
I know it's not getting any easier. But go ahead and send those questions through anytime to @LockedOnClips, @WillUpdate, @CharlesMockler. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
So without any further ado, let's get into this thing.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yes, so Doc Rivers out as the Clippers coach. We all got the fairly subdued Woj bomb.
This was Woj in a fedora on the beach.
Yeah,
level this of was, chillness.
This was Jazz Woj, is what this felt like.
I think it's Ska Woj.
Hey, I don't know if he was that chill. But so Doc Rivers is out as the head coach of the Clippers. While recency bias does have a lot of us being happy that this is the case,
Let's be real.
The final stats as the Clippers coach, Doc Rivers, 307-185 in the regular season, 20-26 in the postseason. Obviously, there were shortcomings there, which is a big factor of why he was let go. And why
about the injury history as well with
course.
those later Lob City teams.
He also, what he did off the court, Doc Rivers is a very large part of the reason the Clippers are where we are now. He stabilized the franchise during the Sterling debacle, black eye that was Donald Sterling, that was that affair. And during the bubble, he was a champion in the off-court aspect.
100%.
Doc Rivers is a grade A plus human being.
Yes.
We're not
exemplary.
We're not where we're at without Doc Rivers. And you cannot like him as a coach. I'm not trying to say that. You know, I wanted us to move on from Doc if next season didn't work out. We didn't think this was going to be this soon. But the man did more for the Clippers off court than possibly on court, you could argue.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Just kind of an exemplary human being. Just such a great leader to have. Such a great, you know, face sort of for this league. And kind of the perfect coach to have been in the bubble. You know, from the social justice standpoint, everything, like you said, off court aspect, you know, he's been great. And he has had a lot of success as a coach. I feel like the recency bias maybe makes people forget, you know, he had some great seasons. He also coached his ass off, 18-19.
So that's
17-18.
We're going to talk about that at the end of this segment because Dominic Coles had a great take about this. But first off, I mean, we were hella wrong about when Doc was going to get let go. I don't even think that the most staunch, quote unquote, fire Doc supporters thought it was going to happen this quickly. You may have wanted it to, but even Andrew Greif was tweeting about how this kind of took some people by surprise.
Yes, it definitely took me by surprise. And I'm like a little bit conflicted with this because I do feel like ultimately it was probably the right move. But it, It feels
also,
a little bit.
It
feels a little bit like a knee-jerk reaction. And I think a knee-jerk reaction is maybe the last thing you want to do when you've already gambled so much of the future on a win-now move.
Yeah.
To throw another thing into that. I mean, it was, you know, like, I get it, man. I get that he has a playoff reputation, but this was also a funky ass year and a very funky situation.
I will say, I mean, you know, the playoffs this year, it was kind of like, this dude's got to go. Like, if the Trez minutes, things like that, the rotations, the lack of clear continuity. And
I agree. No, I agree.
But, like, Kevin Pelton wrote an article about it. Like, we now have to nail this next head coach. We're going to talk about the pressures that the new head coach is going to face in the next segment. But, like, next year already had so much pressure on it.
Yes.
It's ramped up a notch now.
Oh, it has to
be. Because of the contract situations.
It has to be.
And also, so this move, from a couple of things we've read, could have happened sooner than September 28th. Sam Amick talked about Doc Rivers possibly being removed, started soon after the loss to Denver, which makes sense. Sources close to the Clippers said that owner Steve Ballmer was understandably furious at the embarrassing finish. But making matters worse was the fact that it had a troubling trend for Rivers. And then Kevin O'Connor also saying this was seemingly weighted more of a Ballmer decision than a whole front office decision, which I don't think is surprising. Lawrence Frank was hired by Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
One of the moves that will go underrated by Clippers fans is the fact that Doc Rivers hired Lawrence Frank.
His best front office decision ever.
Absolutely, other than stepping down. But so, like, there's a little bit of murkiness in terms of how this is going to rub the organization, right?
Well, my thing is, okay, so
they're all professionals. And Ralph Lawler even talked about this when we interviewed him, which you should go listen to if you want to listen to Ralph Lawler talk, about how Ballmer's all about business. There are some good people who lost their jobs.
Yeah.
Doc had reasons to lose his job, but this was sooner than I thought it was going to be.
Definitely. I mean, you know, it's way sooner than I thought it was going to be. This definitely caught me by surprise.
Yeah. World's chillest Woj bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again. But I think that the front office probably would have defended Doc. I mean, especially, you know, like you said, he hired Lawrence Frank. I think that Jerry would probably defend Doc.
I think he would, too. Yeah. That's fair.
And, you know, I mean, there's enough arguments to have him head stuck it out for one more year. But the thing I keep coming back to is there's no way Ballmer went rogue and made this decision
for sure
without consulting
Kawhi. He's hands
on.
He talks to everybody. Like, Kawhi had to have been involved. There's exit interviews. And also, this is an interesting kind of note in the Clippers franchise relationship with the press, which is pretty much there is none. Right? Like, local beat writers don't get scoops.
Very close-lipped.
It's a very common thing. So we don't know when the exit interviews happen. Also, I'm just going to say, not a lot of players have posted stuff about Doc being let go. I don't know what that is.
It's a really weird position, I think.
I mean, you can say thanks for everything, coach. I'm not putting this on the players. I'm just like,
thanks for the memories.
But you think Trez would have posted something? But no, I feel like,
thanks for giving me those minutes I shouldn't have had.
Appreciate it, dog. But no, I mean, Kawhi had to have been involved, I hope. And like, so the thing that helps this, right, is that Ballmer is a hands-on owner.
Yes.
It's not like Sarver or some dickhead who's like two hands. Like, Ballmer wants to win, man. And this is a Ballmer wanting to win next year move.
I mean, look, obviously it's, you know, being a fan aside, it's immense for his, you know, business acumen and his future if the Clippers win a championship before they can move into that new stadium.
No shit. That's a very good point. I didn't even think about that.
So he has a lot of, I mean, what's the new thing going to cost? $4 billion?
Dude,
or
I don't even know how much $1 billion is.
I mean, it does. It's not real money. It doesn't exist. So,
very true.
Yeah. I mean, this makes sense. And while I do think he could have been a catalyst for this, and I don't doubt that maybe some more pointed questions were asked about the coach than normally would be asked in an exit interview.
Yeah, I can't imagine a Ballmer exit interview is quote unquote surface level in a situation like this.
But I don't think that this is him like going in rogue. I mean, does he have interest in doing so, of course, yes. But you know, it's in a little bit of the same way, except for, you know, we're not billionaires, the same way as we all as fans.
Other
have
than us not having $1 billion
vested interest,
me and Ballmer are pretty much the same person.
I mean, a win now move, and this is a win now team, and this is nothing new. We've talked about how this, you know, we have a 2-year window, and if we don't make a finals in those 2 years, I gotta be honest, it's
already down one.
It's gonna be pretty bleak,
and so.
Yeah, we're already 0 for 1.
We gotta do a couple ad reads, and we're gonna go in the next segment with a great take from listener Dominic Coles. But first, we have to give a shout out to Rock Auto.
Huge shout out. RockAuto.com. They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. It's awesome. You can just go to RockAuto.com, find all the parts available for your car or truck in a few easy clicks, get it delivered directly to your door. The catalog is easy to navigate, for an idiot like me who knows nothing about cars.
Or computers.
And best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers, which is very important to me, who I flip-flop between both things.
A lot of 1099s over there.
Yeah, a lot. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
And also, after you get off of Rock Auto, you've been working up an appetite. Check out DoorDash.
You're damn right.
You've counted on restaurants, and now they are counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. It's the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia. You can support your local go-tos like Petra or L.A. Bagel. If you're in the L.A. area, you need a good bagel truck. Or you can order from Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Order from all three, and if you order from all three and tell me about it, I'll Venmo you $5. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities safe. Right now, our Locked On Clippers listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. One more time, promo code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Okay, so we're back with more Doc Talk. And obviously on Twitter, you know, this was a polarizing thing. Actually, not
polarizing.
It was
not polarizing at all.
Most people were kind of rejoicing, maybe in a way that
recency bias shows.
That didn't maybe consider the full history of his tenure. But anyways, we got a great take from Dominic Coles. Why don't you break it down, Chuck?
Yeah, so Dominic Coles said about Doc, he can coach when he's forced to, but when he has talent, he just sits back. I love him and hope he gets another shot, but I also think he should take a break from the game for a year. First of all, couldn't agree more on the second point. Please take a break, Doc. You can't go, like, it was reported that, like, Philly and the Rockets or somebody was already calling him after the Woj report.
Of course.
And it's like, dude, let him hang
for
a bit.
If I'm Philly, I'm definitely kicking the tires on that.
I don't care. I hate Philly. But were his best coaching, quote unquote, years with the Clippers, 17, 18, and 18, 19, those plucky teams, one of them having really no business being in the playoffs or taking that Warriors team to six.
And the other one, who would have thought could have had a winning record?
Yeah, like those were kind of the most fun Doc years to watch.
So I do think there's something interesting about that. And I think that's kind of been a little bit of a thread with his time in Orlando too, is that, you know, like when maybe the talent can't carry you through some of these things, you know, it forces him to get in a position to maybe experiment a little more.
Throw stuff at the walls.
And the thing is, though, is like, it's not like he's not a guy who's absorbing a ton of, like, he's obviously absorbing so much film. You know, he sees the game all the time. He knows what these guys can do. Clearly they're running things in practice. I guess I'm not sure why that's not translating to the on-court product in the playoffs.
And
obviously, you know, that collapse is on more than Doc.
Multiple collapses too.
Yes,
because that's the thing.
Back to back collapses. I'm talking specifically about this season
for sure.
Because we've never had Kawhi and Paul George in any other season, so those are ancient history to me. The thing is you know, three back to back losses to that Denver team. I mean, if you think that this is fixing the problem, I got to be honest, man. This to me is just barely a start, and I don't even know. I don't even know if it plugs the hole, depending on who we get to fill this position.
So that's the thing. Like right now, the Clippers have to nail this hire.
Have to.
This is the most. I mean, we thought the PG trade was the biggest thing to happen for this organization in the last history of the team. This coaching search is now the biggest decision in the history of the Clippers, given the pressure. Like, this is the best and worst coaching destination right now, right?
Yeah, I mean,
You have to somehow get Kawhi and PG to re-sign again.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is probably at the bare minimum making a finals. No one gives a shit about the conference championships right now.
Yeah, no.
Like, this is terrifying for the new head coach and
yes.
for fans.
Yes. So I know that there's some interest in pursuing like a first-year coach or some new blood.
A lot of people. Yeah.
Which you and I were talking about this like pre-podcast. I think with the Nick Nurse thing and obviously like Steve Kerr, even Monty Williams, you know, success isn't always guaranteed even with these guys who have a long tenured career. I don't know, man. I kind of think they're going to go with somebody with more experience, or if they do end up going with Sam Cassell, which I would love to hire,
yeah,
or someone like that, I think that they'll maybe pack the bench a little bit more.
Trez is gone.
I'm not talking about the coaching bench. I think like they'll have they'll have an assistant coach and a defensive coordinator that they're like interested in.
Definitely. So that's the thing. Like, who do we want to replace Doc, right? Like,
are we assuming we still keep Rex, right? I haven't heard anything else.
I don't know, man.
Okay.
So in terms of in-house people, I would love it if we kept Ty Lue. Ty Lue doesn't get enough credit for X's and O's.
Yeah.
Very, like, you can't have the resume that Ty Lue does without having exquisite play calling.
The thing is also, like, that Cleveland team, that 2016 team that won a championship, and even the team that went there the year before, unfortunately, yeah, they were undermanned. They had an identity and a style of play.
Exactly.
And that, you know, like we've talked about this a lot, that was something that was absent from the Clippers this year.
Yes, and Ty Lue is so much more than the guy who coached LeBron or something like that. Like, the guy's resume is absurd from an actual coaching perspective. So I think for me, if we go in-house, I would love it if it's Ty Lue. I think Sam Cassell, if there's some kind of promotion he could get, should get it within the Clippers organization.
Yeah.
Because if Ty Lue gets the job, I want everything else to kind of stay the same.
You want Sam on the bench and Rex on the bench.
100%.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see maybe Natalie promoted to an assistant coach or something like that.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
But outside of that, it's like, I mean, Becky Hammon's name.
I think that's
she
interesting.
She has a pedigree.
And the Kawhi connection is a little interesting. Yeah. I don't fully know what their relationship was, but you know, she does know a lot about offense and like that fun Spurs offense.
And she's been with Greg Pop, like,
yeah.
She's been hanging out with Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
Like,
and a great player.
Yes, and a phenomenal player. So, and I mean, Cassell wouldn't be mad at that at all. Would be but I just think it's too much pressure. Ty Lue has been on a team where literally every single year the expectation is to go to the finals.
Yes.
100%. Every single time.
Yeah.
Becky Hammon understands the pressure as well and understands how to deal with it. I'm assuming she's won a chip. She's been with Popovich, that kind of thing. So I think between, like, if it's going to be a first-year coach, Hammon would be great. I've seen some people throwing out Wes Unseld Jr.'s name. Mm. I don't know enough about his coaching pedigree to speak on that, so I'm not really going to. But it's got to be someone that PG and Kawhi want too, right? Like,
oh,
that's,
I mean,
a huge part of it.
It has, I mean, it has to, unless, you know, you're going all in on 1 year and then you commit to another coaching search. Like, my thing is yeah,
this is such a hard hire.
It's a very hard hire, and you know, they're still going to be paying Doc for two more seasons. Which
yeah, happy those terms finally came out in terms of length.
Which doesn't matter because it's, you know, Steve Ballmer and money does not exist.
Steve Ballmer should be paying all of us for two more seasons. Where's my Ballmer stimulus check?
But yeah, I don't know. Jeff Van Gundy's name tends to get thrown around.
If Jeff Van Gundy gets hired for this team, I will metaphorically cut my feet and hands off. Because that is... No. It can't happen.
It's a name that's always thrown around.
It's a name.
Like, anytime there's a head coaching position, I feel like Jeff Van Gundy's in the mix. I mean, I'm with you. I don't see it. I think he's too far...
Hey, Kawhi, what's the deal with keychains, right?
He's like, too far removed from the game. Yeah.
It's like, just...
Have you heard him commentate? And you want that man to be a head coach?
Yeah, he, like, hates how basketball is played now. Vegas odds makers have Lou at 3-2 odds and JVG at 3-1. That 3-1 seems like just kind of an early odds thing. But in terms of roster construction, they're not running the same roster back, right?
So
Fly By Night and I had a funny exchange where we were talking about how the first question for the interview for the new head coach should be, did Trez get too many minutes? Yes or no? Simple yes or no question.
Simple yes or no.
Right?
Yeah, so I think that's going to depend, obviously, on who they end up going with. But, I mean, I guess that's the one reason that I do like the idea of an outside hire, someone who's been impartial to the situation. Obviously, you know, he's not known for his offense, but like a Nate McMillan or somebody who, you know, hasn't been a part of this organization, that can kind of come in and look at things objectively and shake up things where they need to be shooken up versus like, you know, this is kind of the direction we were going in. Maybe we can try this or that. So that would be my only argument against, you know, promoting one of either Cassell.
That's fair.
Or
same
Ty
kind
Lue.
Of tunnel vision type situation.
Obviously, that hire is going to bear so much weight on what happens. I still think, unless they get him on a steal, I would be very surprised if Montrezl Harrell comes back next year, just especially considering we're already at the luxury tax. We're looking at the luxury tax. We got to re-sign Morris.
Got to re-sign Jermichael, assuming he opts out.
In my opinion, we got to re-sign Jermichael.
And maybe even Reggie.
And, I mean, he's definitely going to opt out if there's no coach.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, right?
They
just have to nail this. The Clippers truly, like,
they really
this
have
is...
to nail this. They really do have to nail this. This is, we thought the... We've already talked about how next year, like, if you didn't have fun watching Clippers basketball this year...
You will
year,
not have fun
in terms of anxiety.
Year. You will not have fun.
Boy, howdy, do I have some news for you about next year.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
What do you think about Chauncey Billups? That's a big first-year swing.
That's a big swing to me. Like, I would still rather go with Sam just because he has worked... under a head coach, like in a coaching position. I'm a big fan of Chauncey Billups' game when he was in the NBA. I'm a fan of Chauncey. But
Mr. Big Shot makes sense.
I just don't know.
Man, I'll tell you what I do know. I'm just the tension from the playoffs is already back on my shoulders.
Yes.
I'm already stressed out. Coming up after this, we hope we know that you're all stressed out too with this it's this weird mixture of relief and stress and uncertainty right now. Coming up after this, we're going to be kicking our shoes off a bit with a bit of some Twitter Tuesday questions.
Okay.
So
we're back.
What's up?
Once again, thank you to everybody who sent in those Twitter Tuesday questions.
Yeah.
If you'd ever like a chance to get your question featured on the show, go ahead and send that over to @LockedOnClips. So what do we got today?
So first question is from listener Donald Tillman.
Okay.
Kind of something that we talked about on the last episode. He says we need a guy to do the dirty work, mentions he'd like to see a certain player from New York on the team to do those things.
Hello, my name is Donald Tillman. I think the problem with the Clippers is there's nobody that wants to do the dirty work. Nobody wants to rebound. Nobody wants to... nobody even wants to play defense. Nobody wants to... do everything that's necessary to... Nobody's a glue guy. We need a glue guy. That's the problem. It used to be the guy from Portland, Mo Harkless, but we don't have one of those anymore. He would do whatever it took. We need two of those guys to do whatever it takes. And that's the problem I see. I like that Mitch Robinson as a big guy from the Knicks. I think he would be great for us. He's a shot blocker, and he's agile enough to watch AD. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so he wants Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. I kind of, so before we get into the Robinson thing, I think this is a good take.
We appreciate it, by the way. If you ever want to leave a take, 213-986-7354.
I think this is a good take. I think, like, with the dirty work thing, I agree. I think that Morris can be that guy. I think having another one of those guys on your bench is also great, especially because defensively, that bench unit has just gotten torn to shreds.
Yes.
And clearly that's something that needs to change in the playoffs.
Yes.
Depending on how long our rotations go with our, you know, imagining.
Who the hell is going to be the coach?
Whoever's coaching. Yeah. So I do agree with that. The Mitchell Robinson thing.
I mean, so like he averaged 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks off the bench. He only makes $1 million a year. So I other than because he got picked in the second round, I guess we send him 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, because there's no salary that matches up, really.
But I mean,
the idea that we need someone to do more dirty work could not agree with more.
Yeah. My thing on this is, I mean, I love the idea. I think the fit, especially if he's willing to take a bench role to kind of grow with a contender team, is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah, agreed. We have like Zoo, and then if we resign Trez, we have Zoo and Trez and Mitchell Robinson.
No, I mean, if we got Mitchell Robinson, there's no way we resign Trez. My thing is, there's no way the Knicks are giving up Mitchell Robinson. He's one of the most...
They're morons.
That's fair. they just have no other young talent to build around. And a guy who's already averaging like a double-double. I mean...
And 2 blocks? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It would be the most Dolanist of moves.
It's true. It's true. And maybe they would... you'd have. I still think you have to throw an asset in there. I think it's got to be Landry or something. I don't know.
Let's hope not. So, at... Big Sacks with 3 X's on Twitter might be in second place for best Twitter name other than Black Sub 024. Says that they have all the respect in the world for Jerry West and all the Clippers staff, but how and why do the Clippers miss out in the draft? Besides Shea, they've come up empty in the draft while passing on quality players. So I looked into this. Bryce Johnson was taken 2 picks ahead of Pascal Siakam, which is a little tough to swallow. And then Malcolm Brogdon was also after Bryce Johnson. In the next draft, Jeremy Robinson was taken ahead of Lonnie Walker and Anfernee Simons. These are just players who I thought would be more impactful at the same position. And then after Fee last year, really no one who jumps out in terms of who we could have taken like after Fee or something like that.
So this to me...
I think part of this is just that A, drafting is really hard. The Jerome Robinson pick is a little tough to swallow sometimes. But like the Bryce Johnson thing is rough to see that he was only 2 picks ahead of Siakam.
No, but we're talking about middling picks. Things get really difficult when you're looking at middling picks.
Yeah.
And I also
think you're hoping you hit a home run, right?
I also think it's the same thing with how well Doc Rivers did in 17, 18, 18, 19. His back was against the wall. He had to work with what was given to him.
Yeah.
This team realized that the end of an era was over and they had to make something happen. They had to build for the future.
Yeah.
So I do think that they took a different approach to drafting that year. And I mean, hey, 1 out of 2 is still pretty good.
but I do think maybe there needs to be, I don't know if it's scouting. I don't know what it is. I think part of it is the team identity is not really understanding kind of what the team needs. Because I agree. I think the drafting and the development has been pretty damn rough.
Yeah. Like, I mean, looking at this team, I mean, since the advent of the Blake Griffin trade, yeah, it's been pretty abysmal.
Look at Sham. You look at Sham in terms of development. Like, yeah, there's been injuries, but like, he's been called on to do a bunch of extra, which he's done well.
Yeah, and
but
then,
like,
you know, and then benched and only getting a few field goal attempts. Like,
yeah.
It's a mess.
It's wonky.
I 100% agree with you. So I do think, though, there is an aspect, like I said, of, you know, having those lower to middle picks. I think, you know, your draft board obviously gets wacky depending on where guys go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you don't have a need, like... So you're drafting for need-based, right?
That's what was kind of frustrating about the Rome picks, I think, specifically. It's like, so we drafted two point guards?
Yeah. I mean, like, generally, if you're a team that's already a contender and you don't need someone to contribute right away, you're looking for kind of a piece that makes sense in maybe some second unit minutes somewhere in the future.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where it gets a little bit harder to decide. I mean, if you have Jamal Crawford on your bench and you have CP3, I mean, one of the greatest point guards of all time, you're probably not going to look at some of these other guards. You're probably not going to look at a Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I do think that there is some context that needs to be applied there. But yes, overall, I would say that the drafting has not really been great. It has not been exceptional.
Which, I mean, it doesn't really matter this year, so... That's good, I guess.
We have so few picks. Like, I
hope I hope the new coach can give Shamit some more time. I mean, Fee and Man have a whole new realm to enter because they're having a new coach who most likely is maybe more on board with playing them in minutes. You know what I mean? That are maybe considered quote unquote like not waste minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like they might be in line for more time. Like we don't know what the hell is going to happen.
I think opposite. I think that they are going to be in huge prove it
situations. The new coach is like, we're fucking winning, so you're not playing at all.
I mean, underneath a new head coach and especially the pressure given this year, the room for error from a coaching and rotation standpoint, I think is going to come under massive scrutiny.
To the nth degree. Yeah, yes. Agreed. At Noah Clipper 2, who has a long time running joke between Clipset host Brian Cullen, Will Updike, and myself, wonders how we can upgrade our bench with a veteran who has been in the wars of the playoffs. And I have a thing about this. So our current team has already been in these quote unquote wars or whatever these last 2 years. What more do we need to add other than a guy who has been the finals MVP a couple times? Like, other than the first name that brings to my mind is a Gasol, because he's been there. But I don't think that's what the team needs. These are also all questions that were asked before Doc Rivers was let go. So
yeah, no,
it's
totally
a fair question to ask, too, because do we need that more grit? Like,
so
I'm not against
this is a really
grit.
Interesting question. I think the upgrade for the bench, I still think it comes from the backcourt, personally. And I got to be honest, if you can't get Dragic, which you're not going to be able to, he made a finals. And he's not really like a veteran in that sense. There's just not a lot of super exciting names out there.
Yes. This is a rough free agent class.
And if you're interested in going the other way and looking for, you know, like a more battle-tested center, I see a path to an upgrade there. I guess I personally wonder, you know, how big of a contributor Gasol is maybe at this stage of his career. Like, I don't know that that's a huge, huge upgrade defensively. A better rebounder for sure and a better passer. But yeah, that... I don't know. This question's a quandary to me because I'm just not seeing a real clear...
We didn't have a system before, and we damn sure don't have one to talk about now.
in terms of vets especially, it gets difficult because that's a whole nother culture element that you're bringing in. And you know, maybe that person is willing to step into a wholly new high-pressure situation.
Yeah.
But more likely than not, you know, a vet is kind of going to be used to... culture that they've lived in at other places.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be pretty dismayed at the culture here, unless, you know, we could see a major shift. So long story short, I don't really see a super clear path to upgrade with a veteran. I actually think, I don't know. I think if you end up not going with Trez and you want to keep another center, I actually think going young is kind of good, molding somebody into the system.
Whatever that system may be.
Hopefully
maybe we hire Bill Gates as a coach. Maybe Ballmer just loses his mind.
That's interesting.
Final question to close the show. Just a good old laugh we can all have. At the real Jeremy A. asks, who is the better coach, Spo or Doc?
Do you think we could trade Paul George to get Spo?
Absolutely not. I don't think we could trade Paul George to get one of Pat Riley's suits. No, it's Spo. It's Eric Spoelstra, who is There's this weird thing on Twitter where it's like, when is Spoelstra going to get his credit? He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Who doesn't think that Spoelstra needs to be in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, he definitely needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I agree with the credit thing. I do think that he's overlooked every single year.
Fair.
He, you know, post the dissolution of the Heatles, I think is, you know, he's always kept that team competitive. And yeah, I mean, he's a great coach. You look at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he wins.
Yeah, you look at that Celtics series, and I mean, he coached the shit out of Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Like, I do think that Boston even had more talent in that series. And I mean, look, the Heat beat them in what I would call a dominating fashion.
Yeah. Yeah, go back to Boston, you losers. But no, it's Spo 100%. And again, just to close out the show, we hope Doc, I hope he takes some time off.
It'd be cool if he, yeah, took a year off. I mean, there's,
take
I
a
think
year,
there's
man.
Only going to be more openings next year.
You don't want to coach the Pels. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Thank you, everyone, for rocking with us. If this is the first time you've listened to the show, we're coming at you 5 days a week.
That's right.
I mean, depending when the new coach gets hired, maybe six, because we'll have to do an emergency pod on a Sunday at 3:30 in the morning with how this front office works. Where can these fantastic people tell their friends to listen to us, though, is the most important question.
You can tell your friends to listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app, the podcast widget, whatever it is now. They keep changing the name.
Dongle?
go ahead and, we're also on Google Podcasts, we're on Deezer, we're on Stitcher, we're on Spotify.
Yeah.
Basically anywhere you can get podcasts, you can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. And yeah, if you like what we're doing, go ahead, leave a rating or review.
Yeah, maybe leave one to help counterbalance the Lakers fans who've just given us 1-star reviews simply for the fact that we're a Clippers podcast.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate that.
That'd be a big help.
God damn it.
So. What do we got coming up on Wednesday?
So Wednesday show, we're going to be more fallout from Doc leaving. I can't imagine there's going to be any less of it. We're going to be doing Shamit's postseason grade.
That's right.
What we'd like to see from maybe the new head coach.
Yeah.
And then whatever else might happen between now and then in Clipperland, I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. You know what? We really appreciate you.